Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM. Good morning. So, sex positivity, it's a term we hear more and more these days. We hear it on dating apps and social and mainstream media. But what does it really mean? Well, who better to ask than Ireland's only sexologist, Emily Power-Smith, who is on the line now. Hi, Emily, how are you?
Hello there. Good to be here.
It's so good to have you. So, Emily, I have to ask you first off, how would you explain the idea of sex positivity?
Different people give it different meanings. My meaning that I think is the most reliable and seems to fit with the majority of practitioners that whose values I would adhere to is simply that all that matters to me is that you are enjoying yourself, that you are safe, and that you are fully consenting. Therefore, I'm not going to be judging on your age, your weight, your orientation, your gender, your sexual practices, your religion, your ability, and so on, unless those are the things or one of those things is giving you a problem or you're struggling with one of those things. That's not going to be my focus. My focus is going to be on those three pillars. Are you safe? Are you having fun? Are you fully consenting?
Can I ask you, what would you regard as a healthy sexual appetite?
Goodness. Well, I think that's a question I get asked a lot. And unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to give you a really concrete answer because the answer is actually it's up to the individual themselves. So one person is going to feel fully satisfied and happy with their sexual life, maybe being sexually active several times a day, several times a week, several times a month or several times a year or not at all. It's not about health, isn't about quantity. It's about quality and how you relate to your own sexuality and how much you enjoy your own sexuality. So that can be, you know, really often or hardly ever or never. So that's really the truth of it. You know, I think when we focus on pleasure and focus on what makes us feel happy, healthy and good about ourselves, then we'll get our authentic answer rather than comparing to others.
That's interesting, really interesting, finding an authentic answer because so many people just imagine that everyone else is having a better sex life than they are themselves, don't they?
They really do. I get that a lot as well. I think it's possibly something to do with Irish culture. I think we like to know what next door is up to. But I also think, I've been thinking about this actually, and I also suspect there could be another underlying reason for it in Ireland's society, which is possibly that we're not really that comfortable yet owning our own sexuality. So it's probably easier to talk about John and Mary next door to get the conversation even started or to even broach the topic with anyone. It's easier to talk about others than ourselves.
Totally.
So I think there's probably an element of that. And then, of course, we're taught by everything in advertising and media to compare ourselves to others, to feel less than, so that we'll buy something so that we feel better.
Very true. Yeah.
You know, it's a big mixture as to why that would be, I think.
Sex education in most Western countries is regarded as sex negative. Why is that in 2021? That is the narrative.
What is sex negative? It is basically, to me, it's about bringing in moral judgment, judging people for the things I mentioned at the start of this piece that aren't really relevant. Mm-hmm. And also being very paternalistic about another person's sexual life and feeling that I have a right to tell you what your sex life should look like. And I think when we're educating young people or anyone to adhere to other people's values rather than come up with their own, based on respect and boundaries and communication and the three pillars of sex positivity, then we're always going to run into problems because particularly Irish people, we're rebels. We don't like to be told what to do. And it doesn't work. Mm. So I think that's why I would think that sex negative education is more the norm than not. It's because we're being told what's right and what's wrong rather than being taught how to make up our own minds in a healthy way.
So what is the best way to present information to young people without shame or stigma?
I think you have to start with a three-pronged approach where parents need help to figure out their own levels of comfort and if and what they want to do about that. Teachers who are put in a position of teaching this stuff and are given absolutely no education themselves or support, they need education and support. And then, of course, they will impart a much less confusing, more solid message to young people, which is one where they're walking the talk as best they can and saying, you know, look, sex is normal, it's natural, it's a thing that happens for all of us. Personally, I have some discomfort talking about it, but that doesn't mean I want to impart that to you. Or they get to a point where they don't have discomfort and they're able to talk about it. But it needs to be modeled rather than just, you know, wagging our fingers at parents and teachers and saying, well, now you should be providing good sex education. It's not kind and it's not fair and it's not realistic. Hmm. We have to help everybody to get to a point of shedding their shame before we can teach shamelessness.
Do you think we'll ever see in the sex educational system talking more about casual sex and pleasure rather than just relationships and reproduction? Do you think that'll ever happen?
What do you think?
No, I don't think so. I think it'll take us another 50 years to get, or we'll have to just hire people like you to come into schools and do it. It's a big ask, weirdly.
The bottom line is, while so much of our education and schools are funded by the church who teach that sexual pleasure is an actual sin, we're really, you know, we're fighting a battle that we can't win, I think. So while it's about funding and the people who have the money are, you know, that's their value system, I think it's going to be very difficult to make a difference nationally. Mm-hmm. But I'm very glad to say that there are wonderful organizations popping up where they are determined to give better education to young people around sexuality. It's not perfect, but it doesn't need to be. Nothing needs to be perfect. It just needs to be helpful. And what we have at the moment isn't.
Mobile porn. Let's talk about this for a sec. It's the first point most young people will encounter sex. Why is it important to recognize that rather than deny it?
I think it's really important that parents who don't look at porn themselves actually look at some porn, because I think there's an idea that porn is like it was in the 70s or 80s. And it is so far removed from that now that what a 10-year-old boy is finding on his phone, if he Googles boobies, a perfectly natural and healthy thing for somebody to Google, you know, they're going to come up with some stuff that is really hardcore, often violent, extreme, and it's free and it's there. And so I think really we can't stop that, but we can counter it and balance it by giving our young people and our children some really solid, healthy education so that they can watch porn if they're going to, without needing it for their education and their information, and they can watch it and go to themselves, oh, I don't ever have to put up with that or do that because it's like a movie like The Fast and the Furious, and I don't have to think that's how I'm going to drive. You know, it's really about providing an alternative rather than trying to stop porn, because that's not going to happen.
What do you make of, and we've talked about it so often on this show, ethical porn?
For me, anyway, I am interested in the welfare of the people involved in porn, because I'm watching it for entertainment. I don't need to watch people genuinely suffering for my entertainment. That crosses a line for me. So pretending that I'm not, that everyone is fine, is crossing a line for me, because that doesn't feel real to me. So the thing about ethical porn, and you've talked about it before, is that at least we know the actors in it are free range organic. You know, they are happy to be in the scenes. They're not coerced.
They're being paid.
The orgasms they're having are real. They love sex. And the other really good thing about it, which is very different to mainstream porn, it's sex positive. So it means that you're going to see different shapes and sizes and orientations and gender identities and abilities. But what the difference is, and this is really important, in mainstream porn, there are hundreds of genres, and you can go to, for example, you could go to, let's say, amputee sex. And in that, you would watch people doing that and they would be missing a limb, for example. But in mainstream porn, the missing of the limb is fetishized, and you're watching it as a sort of almost like a sideshow. In ethical porn, if there was somebody who had a disability like that, in a scene, it wouldn't be about their disability. It would be just the message would be anyone and everyone, if they want to, can engage in really enjoyable sex. And the point is the sex and the variety of people who can have it, rather than, ooh, look at that strange person, or that person's different to me. Isn't that funny and salacious? So it's a different, very different message, as well as everyone is safe. But the other thing is, it's not free. So for young people, it's not the answer, right? Because they're not going to be given an allowance for porn.
They should be, maybe. Maybe they should be when they're coming of age and they're curious. And, you know, maybe that's something as a parent to consider, or sit down and educate your children about, because they're gonna find it somehow.
Another thing, though, is that, you know, ethical porn isn't educational. It's entertainment. And that's the other thing, that until we're providing education, it's the best thing we have. But it's not the same as education. It still doesn't show how to communicate and how to hold boundaries, because everybody is in there to have sex. So it isn't enough.
Yeah.
So we still need to provide children with really strong communication skills, the idea of boundaries and the idea of consent, so that they can navigate their lives, their sexual lives, in a healthier way.
Emily, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. And where can people find you online if they need a sexologist in their life?
Well, my website is empowersme.com, and that's me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and all of I'm Empowers Me across the board. So brilliant. I'm easy enough to find. Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. That was Emily Power Smith. Empowersme.com is the website. You can also find her on Instagram. Go and check her out. A lot of really, really good information there for you and for the people in your life. Go and educate yourself. I know I will. We'll be right back.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.